Let's open with a prayer just before I do that. I'll read you a few verses you might recall from when we started Mark's Gospel. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Our Father in heaven, as we come now to listen to you speaking to us through your word, we thank you that you have sent us a message of great good news, even though we have not deserved it. Please help us to listen attentively and to learn from you, even though we may find some of the things you have to say to us hard to hear, knowing that you tell us all these things for our good. Amen. Now, when I was a youngster growing up, one of my favourite books was a beautifully illustrated copy of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Those of you who remember that story might remember that at various stages Alice came across little bottles or pieces of cake that said, "Eat me, drink me." And it changed her. It changed her size appropriately to whatever situation she needed to change for. And I thought, doesn't that really reflect a lot of the messages we get from society and the world around us? There are certain foods that you might eat or not eat that will make you healthier. Vitamins and supplements, exercises, training programs. You can be leaner, slimmer, healthier, more attractive. Not sure it's done me a lot of good, but there we are. What we put into ourselves, we're told, can make us better. It can fix us. And how about our minds? We're constantly told, aren't we, about the value of education. School, university, specialist training courses, continuous professional development, the Open University, and even after you've retired, the university of the third age. There's no end to it. Surely these will help us to improve our minds and our world, won't they? And when you look online, what do you find? Lots of adverts and links for self-improvement courses and books, personal development, spiritual growth, even ethics and moral development. The message is clear that we're getting from the world, isn't it? Eat me, drink me, and you will be a better person, and the world will be a better place. Now, I'm not knocking all of these things. Some of them undoubtedly have their benefits. But is the message we're getting from the world correct? Is it really the cure for all ills? And if I do all these things, will I really be a better person? Will the world be a better place? Well, if the Lord Jesus could be here with us today in person, I think he'd say, "That's just Alice in Wonderland stuff," or at least something along those lines. Now, I'm not meaning to be irreverent. Please look with me at the repeated message in our passage today. Verse 15. "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And in verse 18. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? It's what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly." All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. And did you notice where all these things come from? Jesus says in verse 20, "out of men's hearts." Now, last week when Martin spoke, he told us about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who'd come down from head office in Jerusalem. And they came to find Jesus and his disciples and to find fault with them. But it was the Lord Jesus who pointed out their hypocrisy in putting aside God's law in order to follow their own man-made traditions. As Martin pointed out, God was looking for a heart response, not a fastidious following of rules and regulations, and especially not ones made up by men and that didn't come from God. And there was the quote in last week's passage, wasn't there, from Isaiah. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Dr. Jesus has diagnosed a heart problem. Men's hearts are broken. Just look with me again at verses 21 and 22. It is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And there's that long list of lovely, attractive things. Now, in the interests of equality and inclusion and diversity, we must keep ourselves up to date, mustn't we? Jesus refers to men's hearts. He's talking about mankind. Sorry, ladies, you're not off the hook here. This applies to you as well. Young people, sorry, you're not off the hook. It applies to you as well. All of our hearts are faulty and broken. But that's not how they were meant to be. If we look in the Old Testament at the end of Genesis chapter 1, after men and women were created, God saw all that he had made and he said it was very good. Verses 21 and 22 isn't very good, is it? Those things were not there in the beginning. Unfortunately, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they opened the way, they paved the way for other hearts to be able to go astray, and so evil started coming out of men's hearts, and it's been going on ever since. Now, it wasn't just a problem for the Pharisees in our passage. In today's passage, we pick the story up at the point where Jesus has finished speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he calls the crowd to him again, verse 14, and he says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." He has a message and he says it's for everyone. And we need to understand. So he's saying this is really important. Our hearts are faulty, they're broken, they produce all sorts of evils they ought not to produce. And the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And that doesn't just mean that one day each one of us is going to die, although that's undoubtedly true. It means an eternal separation from God. Why? Because of the evil things that come out of our hearts, and because God is pure and holy. As the scripture says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we've seen that our hearts are broken, they're faulty. So I came up with the title that only Jesus can fix a broken heart. And I thought, as I came through this passage, that there would be three headings that might help us to look at this. The first is recognising the heart of the problem. Recognising, secondly, that we cannot help ourselves. And finally, recognising that helplessness is not hopelessness. Firstly, recognising the heart of the problem. What's your first reaction when somebody says, "Oh, I don't think you were right to do that"? What is all our first instinct? Well, it's to pass the buck, isn't it? To pass the blame. Right back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, what happened? Adam blamed Eve for giving him the fruit. And Eve blamed the serpent for deceiving her. Neither of them owned up to their own part, their own fault in the matter. And we're all inclined to be like that, aren't we? Be honest. The other day I was having a chat with somebody about some of the youth crime that's going on in the area where I live. And this person was very interested in the subject and also the part that people's home backgrounds and upbringing play in it. Broken families and so on. Now, I'm not saying that those can't influence and make a difference, but are they really the heart of the problem? I don't think so. We all know people who've had bad starts and turned out all right, and we all hear of people who've had everything going for them, every privilege, and their lives go all wrong. And can we perhaps be tempted to blame God? However outrageous and unfair that might seem while we're calmly, detachedly looking at it here. We'd never say it openly, perhaps, but do we sometimes inside ourselves think, I really can't help it. God made me this way, as though that was some kind of excuse. And everything happens according to God's will, so he must have meant things to turn out this way. Well, the Bible tells us that doesn't wash. The Bible says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's in James chapter 1, if you want to check me up. And God is light. In him there is no darkness at all, as we read before. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I'm referring you to all these things because I want it to be clear. We are without excuse. I am without excuse, and so are you. Jesus says it is out of our hearts that all sorts of evils come. Perhaps not easy words for us to hear or to face up to. Have you ever struggled with sin and felt like you were fighting a losing battle? Things that maybe other people aren't aware about and don't know. I have. Perhaps all of us have. Perhaps it's like things that only you and I, or we ourselves, know about. Oh, and God knows. Even the great apostle Paul wrote these words: what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Well, if even the apostle Paul struggled in this way, we shouldn't really be surprised if we find it hard as well. The problem is our hearts are broken, and out of them come all sorts of evil, and we really just can't seem to beat it. So we need to recognise that we cannot help ourselves. It's not an easy message to accept or understand, is it? But this is what Jesus has to say to us in our passage. After Jesus had left the crowd, verse 17, and entered a house, his disciples asked him about what he'd been saying to the crowd. They hadn't got it. They were finding it hard to accept. Are you so dull? He asked. But Jesus has to repeat the lesson for them, this time in more detail. It's not that it's complicated or hard to follow. It's just contrary to everything the world around us says and that we've been brought up. It's because it's hard. It offends our dignity to try and swallow this message. But it's the truth nonetheless. And that's the same for us here today, isn't it? I mentioned earlier the different ways all that media and society try to convince us of these things. If only we can teach youngsters the right things in school, the right values, they'll come out as better people and our world will be better, is the message. If only we could fix home situations, there wouldn't be street crime.
Really?
And for those of us who are Christians, maybe we think to ourselves, if only I can spend a bit more time in prayer and studying the Bible. Maybe if I can just give a bit more, or I can devote more of my time to the Lord's work. Now, once again, please don't misunderstand me. There may be a lot of merit, a lot of these things would be very helpful. But they will not by themselves change our hearts. We could end up being like the Pharisees. In our passage, Mark notes in passing that when Jesus said what he had to say about the things that go into us don't make us unclean, he declared all things clean. He took away some of this rule-keeping and this idea. That's a blessing, isn't it? We don't need to worry about what we eat. We don't need to make up lots of rules like the Pharisees. They'll be useless, all of these things, unless our hearts are changed. But in the same way as nothing that comes into a man from outside can make him unclean, the implication surely is that nothing we put in can make us clean either. Nothing can fix us. Why not? Well, as Jesus pointed out, the problem is not what goes into the body, but what comes out of the heart. So does that mean our situation is hopeless? Well, no, thankfully, we can recognise that helplessness is not hopelessness. And the bad news is there to show us, I think, in fact, we won't recognise it without recognising the bad news, how good the good news is. Now, Mark's gospel that we're going through at the moment is all about good news, right from the beginning. First verse of the gospel of Mark. It says the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our word gospel comes from an old English word, Godspell, which means good story or good news. So it's the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. And the same word that was translated in verse 1 as gospel is also translated literally as good news in verses 14 and 15. I read it out before we prayed earlier. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, repent and believe the good news. So what is this good news? Well, we had a couple of hints earlier, didn't we? Jeanette's talk, God has the ability to give us a new heart. The verse from Ezekiel. Good news in Mark's gospel that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His plan all along was his suffering and death on the cross, that he would take on himself the penalty for all the bad things that have come out of our hearts. A ransom to reconcile us to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But Jesus did know that we first need to understand that our hearts are broken and faulty, that we're spiritually sick, that we have no excuse, and that we're unable to help ourselves. So he says in Mark 2:17, which we read before, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's good news, isn't it? It's very good news indeed for those who Dr. Jesus has diagnosed as having broken, faulty hearts. Sinners like us, in fact. So how should we respond to this passage? Well, I think, first of all, we have to face up to the truth about who we are. I am not a nice person. Not in God's sight. He sees my broken, faulty heart and all of the bad stuff that comes out of it. Even the ones that nobody else knows about. I have no excuses, and neither do you. We have a spiritual sickness that we cannot fix, and we can never make ourselves right before God. We need to take the medicine that Dr. Jesus prescribes for us. Repent and believe the good news. Now, to repent means to turn away from something. I was going after all these bad things, but I've recognised what Jesus has said to me, so I'm going to do my best to turn around and go his way. I need to believe the good news that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for me, to pay for all the bad things that have come out of my heart, and for all the bad things that ever will come out of our hearts, if only we keep on repenting and believing. Believing the good news that through the sanctifying work of his Holy Spirit, he is gradually fixing our broken, faulty hearts a little bit more each day. When we had our partnership day, Johnny gave an illustration of a jug that got dropped and broken. And of course he glued it back together and it looked not too bad, just about usable as a jug, pretty good. But it was still faulty, it had chips, so you could see the glue strands going through it here and there. Well, that's a bit like us, isn't it? God is fixing us, but we've still got the battle scars, we're still not perfect yet. But there is going to be a day, one glorious day, for all those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, when our hearts will be completely fixed, when we will be with him. Praise God for that. And for those of you who haven't yet believed, well, perhaps you think, well, this isn't much good news for me, is it? Well, not if you're not believing and trusting in Jesus, it isn't. But you can. You can do it today. So why would you miss out? Maybe you have some doubts and some questions, and if that's you, please do come and have a chat afterwards, or talk to Martin or Eulen or John. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please forgive us for all the wrong things that have come out of our hearts, even this week, according to your faithfulness and mercy, and not as we deserve. Please help us to turn away from all these things and to believe and rejoice in the good news of the Lord Jesus and to know him better each day. Amen.